Welcome everyone to Dragon Quest FM, where we talk about and obsess over Dragon Quest. I'm Austin.
And I'm BJ.
And this week we are going to count down the best Dragon Quest spinoffs or spinoff series.
Spinoff series, yeah.
Maybe, depending on which one we're talking about. To kind of compile this list, we looked at our personal feelings, what BJ and I really like,
right.
The spinoffs that we really enjoy. But also we asked folks on Twitter and got like hundreds of responses.
Got a lot.
Anyway, lots of really good responses. And so we looked at that too and kind of changed our numbering around based on what the general consensus was, as
right.
well as kind of like our personal feelings on these spinoffs to compile this list. We've talked about our favorite Dragon Quest spinoffs before, but we've never done like a countdown of the best. So this is like the definitive, I guess, Dragon Quest FM best spinoff list.
Yeah. Definitive. Yeah, let's say that. Definitive.
We're
the
gonna call
ultimate.
It Until Treasures comes out, and then we have a new spinoff series to chat about. And so
it's true.
Yeah. But anyway, there's still a couple more weeks for that. And also, if you're listening to this, go buy Dragon Quest Treasures because it looks really fun.
It does. It looks really cool. I'm excited for it.
Getting straight in to best Dragon Quest spinoffs. We're going to start with number 6, which might be a funky number to start with, but that's what we're doing.
It is.
And we decided to go with Fortune Street and Adachi Street games. And
yeah.
Quite a few people said that they enjoyed Fortune Street as their favorite spinoff. More people than I actually thought. When we asked online, I did not
right.
think anybody was going to include this on theirs. And I thought it was just going to be a me and you. Thing,
uh-huh.
but surprisingly, a good half dozen people mentioned Fortune Street as their favorite Dragon Quest spinoff series.
Yeah, I'm really surprised because of how obscure this one actually is. That if you ask just general people out there, you know, if there's a Dragon Quest board game, video game, they're gonna say no. Or they don't know about it, but surprisingly, a lot of people do, and they are fun. It's a lot of fun when you and I and you meet Grace and
Jennifer.
I couldn't remember who
your
I
wife.
Was playing. Yeah, my wife. Man, my brain.
Your wife's name is
my
Jennifer.
Wife. My wife's name is Jennifer. But no, we shut up. But yeah, we all played it together, and it was fun.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. This was one of those games that I had not played. And then right as the pandemic hit and we were like in lockdowns and everything, I got a good deal on it used. It was like $20 for like complete in box, you know, manual, everything of Fortune Street. And we had our Wii plugged in already because we were playing Wii Sports, I guess to be active because, you know, we're all stuck indoors during that time. And Grace and I ended up just really loving it. When we came up to Tennessee, we brought it up there to play with y'all. And I think that maybe I'm surprised by how many people seem to fondly remember Fortune Street. And so I'm not sure if it's just kind of cult following status now, or if it's just a bigger game than what I realized. Another thing to consider is that the Wii sold like crazy. Fortune Street does have Mario up front and center. So because Mario's front and center and because the Wii sold so well, like
right.
the odds are that a good chunk of people have played this one anyway. And then from like the Itadaki Street point, it's like a lot of the later games especially also brought in Final Fantasy and Dragon Quest characters and
mm-hmm.
meshed those together in what essentially is just like an investment board game.
Yeah, basically, yeah. It's that's a good way of putting it.
It's Monopoly, but instead of buying up properties, you're investing in the stock market.
Uh-huh.
Is essentially what it is. Yeah, but it's a ton of fun.
As a slime.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what makes it so much fun is that you can be like a slime or like just looking at Fortune Street specifically. You know, you can be like Carver and Bianca and a slime and Stella, I'm pretty sure, is on there. Jessica. I believe we unlocked Jessica.
And yeah, I think so.
It's been a couple of years. And so, like, all of that just makes it really awesome. And even if you don't care anything about Dragon Quest, I think it was a smart call meshing it together with Mario characters because
mm-hmm.
then it's like if you're used to Mario games, I guess you would look at it as, oh, this is Mario Party, but Monopoly.
Exactly. Yeah, you would see it, and it's a really good idea. Good that they got the licensing to be able to do that, that they were able to add it all together with Mario, because I don't think them just seeing a stock market style, seeing a stock market style board game with Dragon Quest characters would do it for them.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, Itadaki Street did not start off as a Dragon Quest game. Yuji Horii made the first Itadaki Street, and it was just kind of like your... It's basically Fortune Street. It's you're playing the stock market and trying to, you know, invest and do all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no Dragon Quest aspect of it. So if you go back to the very first Itadaki Street, there's no Dragon Quest in it. And this, I think, fairly unique, because it's one of only like two games, I believe, on our list that is not like a, did not start off as a Dragon Quest spinoff.
Yeah. Yeah.
For number five, our next one is number five. We have Dragon Quest Theatrhythm, which I included high up on this list just because it's in Japanese. And I feel like a wide portion of our American and Western audiences have not played this game.
No, but I have not.
It's a ton of fun. For anybody that's played the Final Fantasy Theatrhythm games and is looking forward to like the new one that's coming out on Switch, it's a ton of fun. It's easy to play in Japanese because, you know, it's a rhythm game and you got to just, you know, like mash buttons and drag your stylus. And so it's very easy to figure out. I put it a little bit higher on the list because Fortune Street, Itadaki Street is a ton of fun, but a lot of that fun is dependent on if you have someone to play it with.
Yes.
And
very much.
So I thought Theatrhythm should rank a little bit higher here because it's one that you can play completely by yourself and still enjoy, and you don't have to rely on finding another human being to play it with you.
Yeah, I mean, that is a big deal in this that sort of game. The computer opponents are not fun.
Yeah, and it's also weird to me, while we're on the subject of this, it's very odd to me that the new Theatrhythm game that's coming out on Switch is using music from other Square Enix properties, but there's no Dragon Quest music in it. And It's weird that it's super weird because like a Theatrhythm Dragon Quest game already exists. So it's like, why wouldn't you just put that in the new one instead of having music from like the Mana series and stuff like that? Like, why are you?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. It's weird to me that Dragon Quest got left out. Yeah. And I'm assuming maybe it's a copyright thing because, help me out here. Sugiyama owns the rights to the music and all. And then, I mean, he's dead now, and maybe there's like a problem with his estate or whatever. I have to assume it's a licensing thing. I don't know, but it's just really weird that Dragon Quest Theatrhythm exists, yet there's no Dragon Quest music in the new Theatrhythm game, but they created some music and stages from other Square Enix properties to include in this one.
Yeah, I'm assuming it had to be licensing. That's all I could think of.
Yeah, but anyway, it's a ton of fun. Last time I checked, it was a fairly inexpensive Dragon Quest game to get. So if you have a means of playing Dragon Quest Theatrhythm, highly recommend it. Ton of fun. I wish we would get more, although admittedly, it includes a whole lot of music already. And, the state of Dragon Quest music for future entries is kind of up in the air now because of Sugiyama being gone. So who knows what kind of music we'll get from here on out.
I'm assuming it's going to be good, though.
Yeah, oh yeah, I have to assume. So it can't be worse. Am I right? I was fine with the music in 11.
Yeah, I like Dragon Quest music.
I hear people knock on 11 all the time, and I get it. It just recycled a bunch of music from other things, and there's only like four songs in the whole game, and it's like a 100-hour game, you know, same four songs over and over again. I get that. I get it, but it didn't bother me. Like I was,
yeah. I never noticed the music, and the only reason, like I've said in the past, the only reason I've noticed the music in 11 at all was because people mentioned it being orchestral in 11S, and I went back to the original. I was like, oh yeah, that's better. That's a lot better. And then that's it.
Yeah. And then we have number four, which we put as Rocket Slime.
Yeah, Slime Mori Mori.
I wanted to put this higher up. Originally, we had it much higher up, but because we asked so many people to weigh in on this, at a surprisingly empty amount of people said Rocket Slime.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it once when I was going through. I did see Slime Mori Mori and Rocket Slime once. I didn't see it again, though. I may have missed some.
Yeah, same for me. I saw it. I think I might have seen it, like one or two times. But you and I hold it in really high esteem.
Yes.
It seems like a lot of people love it. So we were like, you know what? Screw it. We're going to put it at number four instead of knocking it back to like number six or seven or whatever. Because Rocket Slime, it is really good. We did a whole retrospective on it last week. You can also listen to like our kind of like Let's Play Fresh Memories of episode back in season one.
God, that was season one.
Yeah, it's super enjoyable. It's a cute game. I mean, it's an entire spinoff where you're getting to play as a slime and rescue slimes. It's like, this should have been higher up on people's lists, I feel like. But I guess...
But they may not have played it. That's the thing, is it's fairly obscure to get. Like, it's not obscure, I don't think, with people knowing about it. I think it's one of those because of the U.S. releases that, it's not easy for people to play and love. So go spend your $30 on eBay, people, and get the DS cart.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. But either way, BJ and I really enjoy this game. We think it's definitely one of the better Dragon Quest spinoffs. So even though didn't have a whole lot of people online who seemed to agree with us, at least who have responded so far, we went ahead and tried to rank it up here because it's definitely worth checking out. And I would definitely consider it one of the best Dragon Quest spinoff series.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, objectively, I think it's one of the best. It like we said last week in our other episode about Rocket Slime, that it introduced so many things to the series that objectively it's one of the best. And also, I would like to add again, and I'm going to mess up your name, even though you've been a member of the community forever, Leafessa, Leafsy. I'm so sorry. I do it every time. We were talking about the Ragnar McRyan slime, Big Daddy, Big Papa. No, it's Big Daddy, because I would have made Biggie. Daddy. Ragunar McRyan would have been the pun. Like, that's what it should have been, was Ragunar. And I'm like, yeah, how did we not think about that? But you're brilliant, and we love you, even though I can never say your name correctly. But yeah, the pun, Ragunar. That was it.
It's a good
could
one.
Could not think of it. Yeah, good one. I appreciate you as a person. Not just that, but you.
That is a good one. So we're about halfway through the list. We got Fortune Street and Adachi Street at number 6, Theatrhythm at number 5, and now Rocket Slime at number 4. So before we go on, I do want to mention some of the Dragon Quest spinoffs that did not make this list and reasons for not including them. Probably top of a lot of people's list would be the Mystery Dungeon series. Tornico Mystery Dungeon launched the entire Mystery Dungeon
genre
series. You know, Chunsoft went on to really to do for like Pokemon and other series as well. Chocobo Mystery Dungeon, we did not include that one because, well, first of all, neither one of us like it.
I know this one is supposed to be the objective list. And I, you know, neither of us like it, but also having played all of the others between, at least, you know, Austin played through Theatrhythm and I haven't, but we've played these and these are objectively better than the Mystery Dungeon games, like put together the way that everything works. It's like, yes, we don't like that. And I don't like Mystery Dungeon games, but I don't think they're nearly as high quality as these others.
And also no one told us Mystery Dungeon. When we asked people, no one said Mystery Dungeon. BJ and I don't like it. Apparently no one else counts it as their favorite either. And so that one just did not make the cut.
You know, I was actually thinking earlier this year about picking up I can't remember the full title of it, the Chocobo Mystery Dungeon that came out for Switch fairly recently. Well, not fairly recently. I think it was last year or the year before. But I thought about picking it up when it was on sale. And then you and I played the Tornico game. And I was like, I'm good. I don't think I'm going to do that to myself. I'll spend this, like, it was like $15 or something like that. And I was like, I'll spend this $15 on something even dumber that will make me happier. So I probably bought something silly.
Yeah, that, I mean,
but,
that's fair.
But yeah, it made me sad because I wanted to play it, and then I played Tornico, and I was like, nah, sorry, even though it was like 20 years difference in how it would have been better. Yeah. Been improved, I guess.
The other game that didn't make the cut that a couple of people said, and I was kind of surprised by this, was Dragon Quest Tact, the mobile game.
You know, I forgot about it. Like, as we were going through all of this, like, I forgot about Tact.
I remembered it, and like, if this were like a top 10 list, I think I would definitely include DQ Tact in here.
Yeah.
I think it's the best Dragon Quest mobile game, and it does have a very like loyal following and fan base still. But the problem is just that, like, I don't know, when you're, we had time to do six basically. And so it's like, you have to make cuts somewhere. And so even though a few people did said Tact, and I do agree that if this list were extended beyond six and you know, fit into a 10, I think Tact would be on here. But it was just like, I don't think that Tact is of the caliber of the other games that we've included on this list.
Right. I don't like that. That's the entire thing, is I don't think it's that as high of quality of those. Like, I do like Tact. Like, anytime I've played it, I've liked it, but it's another one of those mobile games that I would have to collect things, and I get really sucked into those. And so right now my brain only has time for Marvel Strike Force and Marvel Snap. And those are the ones that have taken over lately. I'm assuming Marvel Snap's going to fall off, but yeah, I don't have brain space to do another collecting gacha game.
Yeah. Another one that came close to making the list, I actually had it on the list, and then after we started chatting about other spinoffs and asked other people to weigh in, this one ended up getting booted out of the top six, is Dragon Quest Swords, or Kenshin Dragon Quest, if you want to include those two together.
Right, and I tend to, yeah.
Yeah, and we had a ton of fun with DQ Swords. You can go back and listen to our DQ Swords episode. It was a ton of fun to play together. I think it would probably be less fun playing it alone. I know it would be less fun playing it alone because I've played it alone. And it's one of those games that I really enjoy, and I would love to see like a sequel. Dragon Quest Swords game making its way over to Switch would be like really cool. But
right.
It was one of those things where like it originally was in DQ Swords was on our list, but then it was like, oh no, we got to make room for Rocket Slime. Oh no, Fortune Street, you know, is a lot more fun than Swords. So we got to boot it out for this one. And so it was just kind of like one of those that really got kicked out of the top six because of that. But also no one told us Swords or Kenshin Dragon Quest. This is another one that no one told us.
And I have to think about it like in a personal, you know, on a personal level, I think it's higher up than Rocket Slime, and even though I love Rocket Slime and Itadaki Street, because of the fun you and I had with it, because I really liked Swords as you and I playing with it, but it was also like I loved it because of how bad part of it was, like how frustrating and how like ridiculous part of it was, and us trying to beat it in that like 24-hour period. And like that fun doesn't mean it's objectively better. That fun means that I have good memories of it, kind of like Bubsy 3D on the PlayStation 1, like where I was trying to convince myself that I didn't want a Nintendo 64 as much as I did, because I didn't need Mario 64. I had Bubsy 3D, and it's not better. It's like I remember this, and it's like I know I have fond memories of that and having a good time with it because it's terrible. And you know, when you're younger, when you're a young teenager, you can have fun with these really terrible things, and I have this good memory of it. But that's how I feel about Swords. It's the Bubsy 3D of the Dragon Quest series.
That's fair.
You're welcome. You're welcome, everybody. You're welcome for that.
So that's kind of some explainer for what spinoffs we maybe didn't include here. Going to number three on the list, I think this probably proves that we're being objective, or at least trying to be objective. number three is Dragon Quest Monsters, and we're grouping in the Joker series to that.
Right. Because it's a sub-series, and you know how all of that goes.
And this is because there was, out of everybody on Twitter who responded, Dragon Quest Monsters came in third place over there. Mm-hmm. And we were already going to rank it fairly high because we knew a lot of people really loved the series, even though I personally don't. It's my least favorite spinoff series, but we knew that a lot of people love it. And then because of so many people actually voting for it online, we bumped it up to number three. It got ahead of Rocket Slime because we were trying to be objective and put the general consensus above our own opinions. And it's not that Dragon Quest Monsters is a bad series at all. I just don't like it too much. And so I think that the reason people do love it is because it's a chance to kind of get to know some Dragon Quest characters a little bit better. You have Terry, from the original, and then you have Kiefer starring in mm-hmm. Caravan Hearts. You were going to have Eric and Mia before Treasures became its own spinoff series. But you have these kind of things. You have a system that for a lot of people who don't like Pokemon too much because mm-hmm. it's too easy or because there's not enough like thought behind it and it's just kind of dull and formulaic. Like Dragon Quest Monsters is kind of like the alternative that's a monster cruding, but you can get a lot more complicated with it and you can mm-hmm. do a lot more. So there are very valid reasons for Dragon Quest Monsters being as beloved as it is. As someone who has read and appreciates and loves the Dragon Quest Monsters Plus manga, I like a lot of the characters and monsters that have debuted from this series. And so I think that there's a lot of like historical importance for the monster series, but also it's like a certain generation of people. And it's probably people who are about my age who grew up with Game Boy and Game Boy Color.
Right.
And everything. A lot of them tried out monsters back then. And we see that kind of nostalgia for some of the remakes, like the DQ3 mm-hmm. remake that's on GBC. And it's like, I think that is part of it too, is that there's a core Western audience who played these games as kids.
Yeah.
And really loves it now. I even work with someone who they obviously, they know I love Dragon Quest, and they were talking about playing Dragon Quest 11, and they were like, oh yeah, the Dragon Quest Monsters games are some of my favorite games of all time, but I tried a mainline DQ game, I think they said it was DQ8, and they were mm-hmm. like, and I hated it. And
weird.
they were like, would I like Dragon Quest 11? I told them to give 11 a shot, and they've since played it and told me that they enjoyed it. But nice. But yeah, I mean, there's, and I've met some people like that. This is not necessarily an isolated incident. Like I've met
right.
people
yeah.
who count Dragon Quest Monsters as one of their favorite series, even if they don't care anything about other Dragon Quest games.
Yeah. I've seen the same thing. Like I haven't really talked to people about it, but I've discussed it with other people who were the same way. Like they had the GBA games or Game Boy Color games rather. And, just loved it when they were younger. And unfortunately that was one of the things that whenever it was that era of playing, I just wasn't playing that.
But yeah, and so I think that even though, despite my personal feelings for not liking the Dragon Quest Monster series or Monsters Joker series too much, is I think it deserves to be at number three on our list here.
Yeah, I mean, I wholeheartedly agree. Like it's something I wish that I'd been able to get into during that era of games, but just wasn't when I was. But I'm still going back. Like I'm still 100% planning on going back whenever it's like easily available for me too, because like I don't have the carts or anything outside of the Japanese version of one that you got me, which is awesome.
Yeah. Then we have number two, which is Dragon Quest Heroes as a series. We're including yes. one and two in here, which I found surprising because I personally love the Heroes games. And I count them as some of my favorite spinoff series. Maybe my personal favorite spinoff series is the Heroes games.
Right. And they're what got you into Dragon Quest to begin with. Like very, very first initially. Not even like Dragon Quest 11. Like you played Heroes 1 before that.
The first Dragon Quest game I ever owned myself, beat everything. Yeah, was the first Heroes game. Yeah. And it's not just nostalgia. Like, I really do think they're fun games. And,
they are good games.
And I enjoy them a lot. I was surprised because when we were originally compiling this list, I had Heroes, I think back at like number like five or six. Like, I had it back pretty far because I was like, oh, I love Dragon Quest Heroes myself, But I feel like a lot of other people prefer like monsters or builders,
right?
Games yep. like this. And so I was like, you know, I'm trying to be objective here, so I'll put Heroes, you know, further back. And then when we asked online, it was a very close tie between number two and number one here, with so many people were saying Heroes. And that made me really happy. And it was also really surprising because I really did not expect that.
Yeah, I would have expected much, much more toward monsters and builders, especially given that their popularity over the years. But Heroes came through, and it made me happy because they're very, very good games. And I don't actually know if they get talked about enough.
Yeah,
says the guy on a Dragon Quest podcast who doesn't talk about them enough.
That's true. We should do some fun like Heroes deep dives that we've done for mainline games. That'd be fun. Yeah, we should get on that. Number one on our list, we'll get to right after this commercial break. I'm just kidding. That's what they would do if this was like on
page
one, right?
It's absolutely what they would
do. For number one, probably a lot of people have seen this coming now based on number three and number two. Number one would be Dragon Quest Builders, and specifically, I feel like Dragon Quest Builders 2 is really what like propelled this to number one. So many people responded with Builders as their answer for favorite mm-hmm. Dragon Quest spinoff series. It is one of my favorites. Behind Heroes, it's probably my favorite. Just especially, I'm not sure how big it is in Japan, but I know over here in the West, there are like so many people who don't even play Dragon Quest games, but who love Builders 2 and share and make like these such impressive builds of things in that game. And then I've also seen some people who get into Dragon Quest because they played Builders 2 and mm-hmm. we're like, hey, maybe I'll see what the rest of this series is about.
Yep.
So I'm not necessarily surprised that Builders and Builders 2 was going to be number one here. This is what we originally had at number one ourselves.
Yeah.
And I guess everybody's answers on Twitter just kind of helped reinforce that it belongs at number one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's anything that I've ever played in the DQ series and mainlines included that I liked more than Dragon Quest Builders 2. Like I latched on to it and it is just lovely. Like it is still my favorite overall DQ game.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring that up if you didn't. Like, Builders 2 is your favorite.
Yeah, like, it's just good. And I keep wanting to go back and play the first one, but I want it on Switch, and it's expensive to get the physical version. And so I'm just kind of, I'll get it. I'll get to it eventually.
Yeah, that's kind of how I am. Like, I never got all the way through the first Builders game, and then Builders 2 came out and I played through it instead and loved it. And then I just need to go back and actually beat Builders 1, where it was a fun game. I mean, you saw me playing it. I mean, it was a lot of fun. I'm not trying to diminish the first one by, you know, really talking about the second one, but it's just that like, I feel like the second one really exploded over here in the West, and the first Builders game, like I feel like it got a positive reception, but wasn't like a big game. And I think that Builders 2, partially because of 11's success and following up off of that, but also just because of the improvements it made and just kind of mm-hmm. came at the right time. Maybe, you know, it came out here just, you know, about what, like 6 months before lockdowns and the pandemic and everything. And it was like, if you don't want to play Animal Crossing, there's this Dragon Quest Builders 2 game that lets you make stuff.
Yep. And I love it. Like the stuff that I see people make is beautiful, and I much prefer seeing it to Minecraft creations. I don't know why. Maybe it's because the textures and everything are prettier, but I'm amazed at what people can make in it.
Yeah, for sure. So really quick recap. We have Fortune Street at number 6. We have Theatrhythm Dragon Quest at number 5. We have Rocket Slime at number 4. We have Dragon Quest Monsters and Monsters Joker at number 3. We have Dragon Quest Heroes 1 and 2 at number 2. And then we have Dragon Quest Builders 1 and 2 at number 1, which I feel like is a pretty pretty solid list, if I do say so myself.
I think it's pretty solid, and I think that it is very objective on our part. That and I mean, we're very big fans of all of them, really. So it's I really like where we landed on this one.
Yeah, I do too. Of course, with any ranking, there's going to be people who disagree with us. So if you disagree, think there's something we should change, or just want to share your own ranking, you can do that. You can find us on Twitter at DragonQuestFM. We also started a Hive account since so many people are going over there. And so if you're over on Hive, if you've left Twitter, or if you're just on Hive as well, we're also at DragonQuestFM over there. We'll be posting regularly over on there as well for now, because we want to just talk about Dragon Quest with as many people as possible. And also, if you would like to support all of this, you can find us at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM. And a huge shout out to all of our Patreon patrons. We really appreciate all of you guys.
And we do. And I'm sorry if I and Will always mispronounce your names. So thank you, patrons, for dealing with me. You can find me on Twitter before it explodes at Professor Beej. I have moved to Mastodon for a lot of my stuff at beej@dice.camp. And like he said, we have the Patreon at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM. And if you want to join us on Discord, you can join us at discord.geektogeekmedia.com.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Bye.